The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. Peter began to say to Jesus, "We have given up everything and followed you." Jesus said, "Amen, I say to you, there is no one who has given up house or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or lands for my sake and for the sake of the gospel, who will not receive 100 times more now in this present age, houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions, and eternal life in the age to come. For many that are first will be last, and the last will be first." The Gospel of the Lord. Well, what you just heard follows on the gospel that you heard yesterday. And for those of you who were here yesterday, you might remember the gospel yesterday, but if you weren't here yesterday, I'll tell you, the gospel yesterday was the story of the rich young man who walks up to Jesus and says, "Good teacher, I've kept all the commandments since I was a little kid. What more do I need to do to enter into eternal life?" And Jesus turns to him and says, "Sell what you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me." The gospel tells us that the man walked away sad because his possessions were many. Then Jesus astonishes all of his apostles and he says, "How hard it is for one who is rich to enter the kingdom of God." And the reason why he astonished them is that their entire lives they believed the diametric opposite. They believed that those who were rich were the most likely to inherit the kingdom of God. It's all across the Old Testament. God's blessings described in material terms. The Psalms tell us that the blessed of God have fields and fields of grain and cattle heavy with young. And remember the story in Job? He was blessed by God when he was rich. He was cursed by God when he was poor. So it was really astonishing for them to hear that. But there's something that he says today that's astonishing for us, and it touches upon this question. Why does God ask more of some people than he asks of others? It's especially difficult for us who are as Americans. We believe everything needs to be equal. And by equal, we don't mean equal in dignity. We mean equal as in interchangeable, like sheets of loose leaf paper. And you've heard it said that life is not fair. It's true. But with God, it's not so much a question of injustice. It's a question of the fact that God loves variety. And he's made all sorts of different types of peoples and cultures and gifts and talents, and they're not interchangeable, like sheets of loose leaf paper. And one of the consequences of that is that some people are asked to give up more in this life than other people are. There were plenty of rich young men in the Gospels. Zacchaeus the tax collector, probably the wealthiest man in all of Israel, only asked to give up 25% of what he owned. Joseph of Arimathea, probably the wealthiest man in the city of Jerusalem. From all we know, he gave up nothing except a burial plot. Why does God ask so much more of some people than he asks of others? The answer goes something like this. If God asks more of you, please know that it means that he has a bigger role for you to play in his kingdom and on this earth. And if God asks more of you, it's a sign that he wants to draw you even closer to himself than he wants to draw someone else. You say, "That sounds great. I want a bigger role in God's plan, and I want to be drawn even closer to God, but not at the price of suffering and sacrifice, please." But when it comes your way, right? We usually don't reach out and choose it for ourselves, but when it comes your way, three things to remember. First thing to remember, the things that we're clinging to in this life are not as fulfilling as they appear to be. Peter says to Jesus, "We've given up everything and followed you." Sometimes I wonder if Jesus wasn't even just a little bit tempted to answer Peter with a trifle of snark and say, "Peter, What have you really given up? Your fishing nets? You know, I've been to Capernaum. It's not Paris. What have you given up, Peter, really? The evil spirit has a way of ballooning the things that you do not have in this life to make them appear to be the end-all, be-all of your existence. And there's one thing for certain. Nothing this side of death, nothing short of God, possibly fills that role. It's the first thing to remember. There's a second thing to remember. Those who have less are freer. And let me tell you, it feels really good. Like I mentioned before, the seminarian I knew, back in the seminary, whenever he got a new car, he would break out his key and he would scratch the paint of the car. And he would say, "There, now I'm free." Having less is remarkably liberating. In fact, one of the most liberating experiences in all of life is to let go of what you've finally been clinging to for so long. It's like letting down a 40-pound pack. And just remember, somebody once told you, it feels really good. And the third thing to remember is this. Jesus says, there's no one who's given up father or mother or children or lands who won't receive in this life hundreds of times more. And I can personally attest to that. You know, I cannot count how many times people have offered me access to their homes or their vacation homes, just like I'm a member of the family. Here's the key. You know, enjoy yourself. Help yourself. But the more that Jesus offers is not more stuff. The more that Jesus offers is himself. It's something to remember. If the day ever comes when God extinguishes the last candle in your life, please remember somebody once told you the only reason he did it was because he's about to take you out into the sunlight. We've given up everything and followed you, the apostle said. Not so fast, Peter. Before these very gospels are over, you yourself will deny Jesus three times. I think, Peter, your words are racing ahead of your heart yet once again. What about you? What about your heart? Just remember this. If God ever asks you, be it in the past or be it in the future, to give up anything at all for the sake of his name, be not afraid and respond with courage, generosity, and faith. We'll ask for the prayers of the saints to help us today. Saint Casimir, pray for us.